What I never travel without is definitely my four pocket utility jacket. And actually, I just come back from Morocco. I was there like a couple of weekends ago and I bought loads of ceramics and I used the pockets to smuggle the ceramics. I was hiding espresso cups into my massive pockets because I didn't have any more space in the hand luggage. So yeah, that's what I couldn't do without. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to smuggle espresso cups and ceramics from foreign countries.
That's Sara Maggioni, Head of Women's Wear at WGSN. And no, today's episode is not about tips on how to smuggle ceramics, but about how our holiday habits are changing and what effect this will have on fashion design. You're listening to the WGSN podcast Create Tomorrow, and I'm Bethan Ryder, Editorial Director of WGSN. Joining me on today's holiday chat about fashion design for travelling is Sara Maggioni, our Head of Women's Wear. Hi, Sara.
Hi, Bethan. Hi, everyone.
And Brielle Sajazi, Strategist on Insight. Hi, Brielle.
Hi there.
I want to kick off by mentioning one of our key trends for 2024 and beyond, the beach to business shirt, which I really love the sound of. Can you explain why this is a key trend, Sara?
The key message here really is just the importance of more versatile, flexible, multi-use items that do one more than one job. And, you know, it's not necessarily a new concept. We started talking about it with two-mile wear, with work leisure, but of course it works really, really well for travel.
I think we started talking about two-mile wear even before the pandemic, right? And then it really, really accelerated. But what's driving this particularly with sort of vacation wear?
Yeah, I mean, the most obvious reason is because airlines are charging really hefty prices for whole luggage, you know, and people are a bit like, well, hang on a second, I'd rather spend those £100 on something else. But also it's just about convenience, right? You don't have to queue if you don't have a bag to put in the hold. It's a lot quicker, you're more agile. So that idea of super packable, easy care, lightweight, low maintenance, crease-free, anything that basically you can fit into a hand luggage is a no-brainer for that. So you mentioned the beach to bar shirt, but anything like, you know, super lightweight slip dresses, packable travel sets, city to beach or beach to bar, or any kind of item that doubles up like a shirt that becomes a dress, anything that's got that kind of dual and multiple function, it's really, really important. And also added benefits as well. So thermoregulating, adjustability, pockets. Pockets are like something as so simple, but for travel, they're amazing. They're your best friend. So, you know, this idea of like hand luggage only, it's huge because of that. We're seeing that on TikTok. I'm sure you've seen the 333 method, 333 challenge, where people are kind of like really sharing packing tips. Yeah, it's essentially like 333. So three tops, three bottoms and three shoes. And it's the idea of picking three and essentially creating up to like 20 outfits just with three kind of items, you know. So that's kind of, it's just about being clever in terms of like what you pick. When we go on holiday, we tend to just put everything in, right? And like, oh yeah, just in case, the just in case dress, the just in case top. But I think now, because of these restrictions, people are just getting a little bit smarter with it. And this is one of the things that, you know, the challenge happened on the TikTok. And also I was thinking, Bethan, you know, they're now going to phase out the 100 milliliters rule, so you can bring bigger bottles. In a way, what's happening is the clothes in the hand luggage are going to have a competitor, which is toiletries, beauty products. So, you know, that idea of super packable and, you know, super selected capsule kind of clothes is going to be even more important.
My goodness, I can imagine you're going to have to spreadsheet your packing, basically, to make sure that your 333 combinations all work. I love that you said the just in case, like, is always that thing when you're packing. What if we get asked onto a yacht? You know, I must have something for that. But then invariably, when you do go, I find that most of the shoes aren't worn. So this is a really, really efficient way of packing. I like the sound of it. In terms of like beach to business, though, I was thinking also, Brielle, you write a lot about consumer insights around travel. So presumably that beach to business thing is a bit of a nod to the digital nomad phenomenon.
Yes, absolutely. I think thanks to remote work, a lot of us are able to travel more, more often, but also travel more flexibly. So we've been tracking the rise of bleisure travel, which is basically a blend of traveling for both business and leisure. So it means travelers are allowed to plan longer stay trips. It means business travelers are more often bringing their families along with them. And it also means travel accommodations and experiences are having to flex back and forth between business and leisure. So exactly how the beach to business shirt does.
Brilliant. And what else have you been sort of discovering in your research about travel, Brielle? What other shifts are you forecasting?
Well, one of the biggest shifts that I've been seeing is how climate change is impacting the way we travel. Obviously, we've all heard of eco-friendly travel, but not a lot of us do it. A lot of us don't want climate change to impact the way that we vacation, but unfortunately, it already is, whether we like it or not. Around the world, a lot of popular vacation destinations are like getting simply too hot for comfort during peak travel seasons. And scientists are studying this by the number of outdoor days countries have. So that would be the number of days that you could comfortably enjoy outside. And what we're seeing is a lot of popular vacation destinations, places like Mexico, Thailand, they could lose 55 to 86 outdoor days each year because of climate change. But then you look at cooler regions, places like Canada, France, Germany, Austria. Each year, these regions gain between 18 to 60 outdoor days. So what does this mean? It means we're seeing a rise of coolcations. It's a chance to cool off during the summer months by visiting somewhere with a milder climate. And that also means there's a new interest in a lot of cool weather vacation activities. So things like cycling, hiking, mountaineering, anything besides laying by a boiling beach, basically.
It's fascinating because I've always traditionally wanted to lie on a boiling beach. But I have to say, you're right in that the temperatures have become unpleasant. And I thought what's very interesting as well, I was reading in the FT that this is influencing property as well. And since the pandemic, for example, there's been a huge rise in second holiday homes in Sweden. I think it said 6.3%, according to Knight Frank, in 2022. And they've got all these lovely islands. There's all these lovely waterside properties. So I just think that's really interesting. It's suggesting that people don't just anymore want to be on a sunny beach. They want to be immersed in nature. There was a brilliant art piece on show, which was an opera. It was based on a beach and everyone in it was kind of recreated a beach with kids and people reading and playing with a ball. But all of the opera songs were about climate change.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I saw that in Brooklyn as well.
It was fantastic. I can't remember what it was called, but sorry to interject. I remembered with the help of Party Google. This opera debuted Venice Biennale in 2019 and it was called Sun and Sea. And it's a piece by a Lithuanian all-female trio, Rugil Barzdžiukaitė, Verva Granita and Lina Lapelti. I hope I pronounced those correctly. It featured normal people as beachgoers with this marvellous opera that built to this story of climate change. It's travelled the globe to great critical acclaim. Right, back to the podcast. I just think there is this sea change, oh, how ironic, but a sea change around people kind of wanting to not do that anymore at all. So in terms of fashion, Sara, that feels like it's really good news for activewear, which has obviously been booming for many years now. People just sometimes just aren't out of their lycra. But I wondered if the bikini's under threat because of this.
Well, no, the bikini's not quite under threat, I would say. I mean, to be honest, one-piece swimsuits have been gaining a lot more traction in recent years. Because of what I was talking about before, they can double up, right? They can double up as a bodysuit. You can, and we've seen one piece is also becoming a lot more elevated. So you can actually wear them not just to swim, to lie on the beach, but actually just wear them to go out. So we've seen that. But what I would say in general, bikinis are going to have more competition. You know, they're going to have, and of course, activewear is a biggie. Athleisure, more than activewear. So what I mean by that is, like, you know, apart from activewear proper, but also fashion brands getting more, borrowing more from active, and active brands, I've seen a lot of active brands moving into fashion territory, particularly around travel wear. So they're really marketing, you know, there are a lot of fashion brands doing the adventure dress.
So Sara, you just mentioned adventure dresses. What does an adventure dress look like?
Well, adventure dresses, they're generally jersey or technical fabrics, and they have any all the details that you would think. So, for example, drawstrings are key. So you can easily adjust them. They've got pockets. So they are fit enough to go out and about, but also they're good enough to go out and about, but also they work if you want to do kind of more leisurely, like sportswear sort of activities. But it's just interesting because it's just the activewear brands really wanting to really understanding that, like, they need moving into that kind of fashion space a lot more, particularly around travel ranges. I've seen that a lot.
Would it work when I'm asked on the yacht, though?
Of course. It depends. Yeah, you got to be prepared for that, huh? Yes, I think it would work. Yeah, because that's the idea, that they're not overly active wear looking. So, but also what I'm particularly interested in as well is it going to have an effect on typical resort kind of ranges, like nautical is a massive trend, right? And generally when we talk about nautical, when we talk about resorts, we always think of like southern European rivieras like France or Italy. But I think it's really interesting because now people are moving, are going north more. People don't necessarily want to work out on holiday. Yes, it's huge. Wellness, vacations are huge, but not everyone will want to work out. So if you're cruising around the fjords, if you are lying, you know, if you're chilling by a Scandinavian lake or something, how is that nautical range going to be affected? And it will be affected from a product perspective, but also from a kind of trend and aesthetic perspective. That's going to have an impact on it.
That's interesting. I'm sitting here in a shirt with palm trees on it, but perhaps in the future it will have mountains on it or something else.
But you know what? Actually, Bethan, interestingly, we've seen retailers starting to market those ranges as travel and holiday ranges as warm climate. And I think it's interesting because it shows that they are considering other climates as well within the holiday range, right? So if you specify, if you're being specific, warm climate vacation edit, it's interesting because, you know, they're probably expecting that there will be different climates for vacation edit. So we thought it's nuances, right? It's quite small, but we're picking up on it. And I think it's definitely one to watch.
You're listening to the WGSN podcast Create Tomorrow, and we're talking holiday habits and how this might impact fashion design in the future. I'm your host, Bethan Ryder, editorial director of WGSN, and I'm joined by Sara Maggioni, our head of womenswear, and Brielle Sajazy, strategist on Insight. So Brielle, back to you now. What can you tell us about this trend of worldcations?
Yeah, I mean, people are really excited about going somewhere and hopefully coming back a newer, healthier person. But that can mean a lot of different things based on how much money you want to spend. I would say longevity retreats are definitely the talk of the town at the moment, where travelers go to a luxury kind of medical spa and receive thousands of dollars of diagnostic testing and health coaching and treatments, all designed to prolong your lifespan. But on the more mid-budget, we're seeing a continued interest in adventure travel. So consumers are actually creating their health goals around being able to go on travel adventures. Not anymore about losing weight or looking a certain way, but they want to be able to hike Machu Picchu, or they want to take surfing lessons in Hawaii. And this is especially big right now for older travelers, people over 60. And we're seeing spiking numbers of boomers specifically sign up for hiking, biking, and surfing trips more than their predecessors did. But then one of the other trends right now that we're seeing when it comes to vacations is definitely sleep tourism. So when you look at data for why people say they're going on their next vacation, often the top reason is to rest and recharge. So sleep tourism, which is a multi-billion dollar industry, takes that rest to the next level with these luxury wellness days that are all about optimizing your sleep. So think every night going back to a personalized sleeping suite where every aspect of your room has been designed for optimal sleep conditions. You can try a VR meditation, or you can have a tech-free room to reduce distractions. And then the morning you wake up and meet with your sleep coach. You have a meal and a workout for your circadian rhythms. I mean, it sounds really lovely. And then that's also trickling into other types of rest and recovery retreats. So one of my favorites is the rise of postpartum retreats, where new mothers go and rest and recharge after giving birth.
That sounds amazing. In fact, any holiday with a load of women resting, I just like the sound of, with cups of tea. But this is fascinating. I mean, I kind of, I understand the adventures and the coming back as a new person and you've got these amazing places like the Mayo Clinic, I'd find that so dull just going away to sleep. The mind
boggles.
Well,
I'd love that, actually, to be honest. I've got one year old son, and trust me, I would love to just go on a vacation and just like sleep for, you know, 24 hours if possible. Yeah,
exactly.
It's a big thing across Gen Z as well. You know, it's like they're kind of really driving that, because it's just the idea almost, you know, you go with your friends and buy a new pajama and you just kind of like order room service. And, you know, it's kind of like the idea of just chilling.
Yeah, okay. I get with it when it's the stinky PJs, which we've seen kind of on the red carpet as well. But what other kind of, is that all it means for fashion, Sarah, stinky PJs? Or is it something else that people will need for these sleep tourism vacations?
Interestingly, sleepwear for travel ranges has grown a lot, according to our proprietary data. So we are seeing, and it's one of the best performing categories in terms of, you know, it's showing like less markdowns, and it's really good in terms of full price out of stocks. So it's not so much about slinky PJs, but it's just the sleepwear. We've been talking about wellness sleepwear as well. We just published a really, really good report quite recently. And it's just about like wellness boosting fabrics that really help better sleep. So it's just a big category. So, you know, think about, and that's like whether you are on the plane or on the train, or, you know, when you actually arrive to the at destination. So, you know, think thermoregulating properties, think soothing, hypoallergenic fibers, but even like stuff quite technical as well, like stuff that, you know, improve your blood circulation, or sleepwear infused with CBD oil, because it offers anti-inflammatory and calming benefits, and also kind of more spa-like sleepwear, which is infused with chamomile oil, aloe vera, mint oil, and even hyaluronic acid. It's like, wow. Hyaluronic acid and retinol for skin dehydration. So it's just that like sleepwear is not just the PJ itself, but it's just like there is a word there, right? And it's massive, and it's a huge opportunity because of going hand in hand with what Brielle just said, basically.
And I guess it's the same, Sarah, with activewear that kind of has tech embedded, right? If people are going away on these retreats where they want to come back, you know, longevity retreats, they probably need the active gear that can track their yoga poses or whatever it is they're doing too. So it's that kind of tech embodied in your fashion as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to talk a little touch upon the sort of White Lotus effect, which is that sort of destination travel shift. People are loving a program and then they want to go there. People have flocked to Sicily, and I think Thailand's next for White Lotus. So is this something in the near time, Brielle, that you're still expecting to be popular?
Yeah, I mean, consumers right now are really hungry for immersive world-building experiences. It's why travel spending continues to be one of the strongest holdouts for consumer spending, especially for our Gen Z and millennial consumers. They're really investing in travel this year where they may be pulling back in other areas. So like you just said, a great example of this is something we call set jetting, which is when TV fans plan their vacations around the location of their favorite show. So after the release of White Lotus, which in season 2 was set in Sicily, Sicily reported huge spikes in tourism. The same thing happened for Bridgerton in Bath, England. They reported the same thing. Also, I'm very excited for the new season coming out this weekend. But then we're also seeing this like thirst for immersive travel in other areas that aren't just related to television. So nature can make for a very immersive travel experience. So we're seeing a lot of luxury travel lean into the outdoors, trips around natural hot and cold springs, luxury outdoor lodging, even farm stays is a really interesting thing to me, where people are wanting to show their kids where food comes from, but it's obviously very elevated. You have cooking classes, you have foraging classes, things like that. But then on the budget side of this, a lot of times we can't afford these hugely immersive travel experiences. So we'll see a lot of destination dupes this year. So, for example, instead of me traveling all the way to London, maybe I also try out Liverpool instead. It would be better on the budget for sure. Or instead of going to the Maldives, maybe you try out the Philippines. And not only is this saving money, but it also is actually rerouting tourists tourists from overly crowded destinations and instead introducing them to regions that may be a little bit more off the beaten path.
I know we cover quite a lot of this on our City by City part of the platform, where we cover these kind of rising destinations or things that are bubbling up. So that's a good place to look. How's revenge travel affected fashion, Sarah?
Yeah, so I think we are seeing that, you know, revenge travel kind of peaked in 2022. And that means that what happened is retailers over-indexed on the kind of vacation holiday shop category, which meant a lot of markdowns. It got better in 2023 and 24. So, I mean, to go back to what Brielle was saying, I think that idea of dream destination of, you know, it's huge. There is such an appetite for it, right? People, it's that idea of just escapism, it's that idea of like rewarding yourself, it's that idea of, you know, it's really important. So from a fashion point of view, as a fashion designer, a fashion retailer, it's really important to be quite in tune with popular culture, shows, travel trends. We know that. But what I would say is that category, that a kind of like true resorts wear category, is diversifying a bit. So that's what I was saying earlier, right? So it's still important, but I would say right size, do smaller numbers, maybe produce closer to home so you can be a bit more agile. And yeah, it's just more about small capsules. The big sort of range, I would say that for travel wear, we are looking more at that. The big message is the more flexible product. And yeah, the aspirational travel remains. And also, to be honest, you don't have to go to see, you can do a capsule and you can still wear it at home for staycation, right? It's still inspiring as a theme anyway.
I think what's really interesting about the set jetting and the White Lotus effect is that it goes so much further than just fashion, right, as well. Because I know we have food and drink clients for tech and various other categories. If you're watching these programs, you know, what else is there in that program that might be something that you can tap into or you can partner with or you can feature or kind of allude to in a product? So I think it's a fascinating area. And I really think with these hit shows, I mean, if you think of the kind of effect of Succession with Stealth Wealth, it's just, you've really got to be the zeitgeist. You've got to be up on your telly, right?
Completely. They do capture the zeitgeist. That's why they're so popular. Because they just know that, you know, White Lotus is a perfect example. Like, you know, we're all stuck in kind of like post-pandemic and you just suddenly see Taormina popping up. And like, it's just amazing sort of. So I think it's, they just know, they just capture the zeitgeist. So there are lots of opportunities around that for sure, whether that's attached to travel wear or just normal, like, yeah, collections.
Okay, let's end on a fun question. So I want to know what each of you never travel without or what you'll be packing this year in your luggage. Sarah?
What I never travel without is definitely my four-pocket utility jacket. It's got these big, like capacious pockets, to quote Succession, actually, that you just mentioned, capacious pockets, and they've got zips. And it's just amazing. As I was saying earlier, it's, you know, like pockets are your best friend when you travel, particularly because some airlines don't even allow you to bring a small bag. You can just bring like hand luggage and you can't even bring a small bag. So where do you put all your valuables? So it's really important to access those valuables. So pockets are key. And actually, I just come back from Morocco. I was there like a couple of weekends ago and I bought lots of ceramics. I used the pockets to smuggle the ceramics. I was hiding espresso cups into my massive pockets because I didn't have any more space in the hand luggage. So yeah, that's what I couldn't do without. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to smuggle espresso cups and ceramics from foreign countries.
Fantastic. What about you, Brielle?
I have learned to only ever travel in cargo pants. And that means I have like a pretty sizable collection at this point. But my favorite is a pair from Outdoor Voices, because my least favorite thing when you're traveling to a completely different climate is just being like drenched in sweat when you come off the plane, because suddenly it's like 50 degrees, well, in Fahrenheit, hotter. So what's really great about them is they zip off into shorts. So very, very keen for a travel day.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thanks to Sarah Maggioni and Brielle Sujesi for getting us in the holiday mood in this episode. And if you're a WGSN subscriber, you'll find forecasts covering the shifts in consumer behaviours and the future of travel on Insight, and Sarah's forthcoming travel wear forecast on fashion. Plus, you'll find destination guides on our City by City platform. If you're not a WGSN subscriber, head to WGSN.com to discover how to subscribe to our services. We're constantly publishing new content focusing on how we can design a brighter, better future for our industries. And these include food and drink, interiors, fashion and consumer tech and beauty. We'll be back in 2 weeks for our next episode. You can catch the CEO of WGSN, Carly Buzashi, on our other podcast next week, Lives of Tomorrow. And she'll be discussing the importance of speculative thinking and far future forecasting and the value of this discipline for our clients. Until then, have a great week.